I came here about 10 minutes ago and I'm all dressed up. That means that I served military in Yugoslavian army. I'm child number 10 in a family of 11 children. And my father was killed when I was 2 and a half. And we had very little to eat. And we had no opportunities to go to school and so on. I wanted to do all kinds of things, but because I was not communist, I couldn't join the schools. So I learned watchmaking. And by the time 1967 came, I was able to leave Yugoslavia, went to France to our college at Collonges, and studied there. Now, all other brothers and sisters barely finished 4 or 5 grades of grade school. But I finished high school, and I was in college, and it felt good. My mother had 3 years of grade school, but she would write to me regularly. Now, she didn't know what to do with punctuation signs, and she would mix capital letters in the middle of the sentences, a little bit like New Testament manuscripts. And then even words were not separated. Well, in the beginning, my first year of college, I was able to understand her. More educated you become, less you know. And in my second year, I had problems. Towards the end of second year, she wrote something about my friend, and there were no paragraphs, there were no sentences beginning and end, and so on. And I wrote to my mother, and I said, "Mom, you know, why don't you use some punctuation marks? At least so that I know where sentence ends." I even used a theological argument. I said, "You know, Mom, one simple comma will decide when you're going to go to heaven." So she got serious about that. And she had 3 years of grade school, but she had PhD in life experiences. She wrote to me patiently a letter in her usual way and style. And then at the end, in lower right corner, she put a supply of punctuation marks. All marks she could imagine she has ever seen. And then on the bottom, she had a little sentence, "Dear son, be so kind as to distribute those where they belong." So, I need your help tonight, because I don't speak English very well. But you distribute those where they belong, okay? I have a brother. His name is Peter. A long time ago, he was a young man, handsome, lived in a village, no electricity, no running water, no roads, sidewalks from bricks. Every morning, he was going through the village to learn how to make shoes. Every evening, back. He ate at his master's home. He noticed that every Wednesday, as he was coming into our street where in the village where we were all born, in the same room, he noticed there is music. Now, my family loves to sing, and we harmonize, like Melashenko's. That's what we do when we meet together. And he loved music, and there was beautiful music, and he wanted to go. But he knew this was not Seventh-day Adventist, and he knew he shouldn't. So he looked through the holes in a door, and he saw young people were there and dancing, and there was drinking, and there was food. And he almost went in, and then he remembered. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, who doesn't stand, and who doesn't sit. So he didn't go. Following Wednesday, same thing. Again, he doesn't go. After about month or two, he got angry at David. Why did he have to write that psalm? He even wanted to open the door, but that psalm came very strongly. And he decided not to go. He was frustrated because he knew that that's not where his place is. When the third angel stopped shouting, John speaks. Let's open Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. In my Bible, punctuation marks say there is a period and end of quotation marks. Angels finished. The verse 11 is the end of the third message. And verse 12 is where John speaks. And here he says, here is the call for the endurance of the saints. He is looking back at three angels' messages. And he tells us, this call of these angels is a call to endurance. Endurance of the saints. Why? Because they keep the commandments of God and have faith of Jesus. Being Christians, brothers and sisters, which means keeping the commandments and have faith of Jesus, is not a picnic. It's not an easy thing. It calls for patient endurance. Temptations, music, young people, food when there is not much of it, drink when there is not much of it, calls us, but he had to endure for about 6 months, not going once to that dance and to those parties. To fear God, like first angel said, when no one accepts any kind of authority anymore means to be an odd person. And to fear God in society that is godless, it takes patient endurance. To give glory to Him when everybody wants to be first. Just listen to the candidates. Fear God. It takes patient endurance. To talk about the day of judgment, that is not popular. It's popular to talk about love and forgiveness and grace. But what is grace if there is no law? Because where there is no law, Paul says there is no sin. It takes patient endurance to remain faithful to Scripture. Babylon has fallen. Call to allegiance, not to the beast when everybody is going to turn in that direction. It takes patient endurance. God's children, hear this call. That's the everlasting good news. But it calls for patient endurance. We can theologize, and we have done that, and that's good. We can emphasize three angels' messages, and that's good. And we have realized that keeping commandments and faith of Jesus identify the remnant of God, and that's true. But there is a price. Because theology remains theory. Even profession of faith remains theory. But to really be what we say we should be, it takes patient endurance. Now, I remember a time when I was in the military. I hated when they got us up at 6 o'clock in the morning and we had about 4 or 5 minutes to put our running gear, and then we had to run and run and run and run. And we even had to shout and sing while we were running. And then push-ups. But one morning at 1:30, when they woke us up, and we had to do 18-mile running and fast walking march. We were ready for it. The only problem we had were blisters on our feet. But no one fainted. We all made it. Because what patient endurance, daily music, daily temptation, daily resistance creates stamina in us. John says that those who hear the three angels' messages, they are unique Christians. They are not weakling. They can run because they have developed patient endurance. Resistance to temptation is never easy, but more we resist, stronger we become. Everlasting gospel is calling for stamina, for endurance, not just heroism. You know, heroism needs adrenaline. In a moment when you see that somebody is going to be killed because the burning house is collapsing, you get the shot of adrenaline, you run, you pick that person out, and you save that person. That's heroism. But Christianity doesn't call for heroes. Christianity calls for people who have stamina, who will maybe not run very fast, but who will run long. It's not just obedience in one temptation. As one author said, it is long obedience that is very difficult. One night, just about 6 months after every Wednesday, my brother heard that music. Two German soldiers and German officer entered our house. Everybody was asleep. They picked up my father and Peter, who was the oldest son at that time, 16 or 17. They picked him up, took him to the main house, municipality, and examined them, cross-examined them. Asked them all kinds of strange questions. After about 2 hours of that, they released my father because he had small children, and that was just the beginning of the Second World War. But they took Peter. They took him to town and put him in dungeon, where normally there were 10 of them pressed in. Nobody could stretch to sleep. It was about this time, temperature was between 28 and maybe 32. No heat, no blanket. Next day my father came and brought the blanket for my brother. Very little food, no sanitation, no showers for 6 weeks. It takes patient endurance. All of them were examined. Some of them came very bruised, very beaten, very tortured. Now it was end of November. They called my brother. He came in for interrogation, and the officer asked him, "What is your name?" He says, "Kish Peter." "Do you like music?" "Yes." "Do you have friends in the village?" "Yes." "Do you go to parties?" "No." "What do you mean you do not go?" "I don't." "Why don't you go?" "Well," he says, "because of someone." "What is that?" "Well," he says, "that's a psalm in the Bible." "What do you mean? What does the psalm say?" "Who can say it by heart? Who can say it? Come on, you're standing in front of the officer. What are you going to say?" "You can use King James or whatever translation you want." "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." "Then?" You notice those three verbs? "Who walks not?" That's what it takes. You first walk. You walk by that house. Then you stop. And then finally you are tempted to go and sit with them. But my brother recited that psalm from the beginning to the end. Especially when it came to that point where it says that the unrighteous will not stand at a judgment. The officer was not very happy. So he says, "What are you?" He says, "I'm Seventh-day Adventist." "What is that?" "Well," he says, "we observe Sabbath." "Are you a Jew?" He says, "No." "You believe in Jesus?" "Yes." So he let him go. Every week, once interrogation. Same questions, different questions. Fortunately, they never mistreated him. They never beat him. One day, the high officer comes. Now that was the court martial now. After this, there is no resurrection. He comes and asks him similar questions. "Do you like music?" "Yes." "Do you dance?" "Do you go to parties?" "No." And again, he had to tell him Psalm number one. And then he says to my brother, "Are you telling me that for 6 months that you had those communist indoctrination parties, you never went to them?" My brother didn't know. All he knew is that there is music. And when he looked, he saw that there was dance and there was food and there was drinking. But he never knew that after dance and when young people are tired, that this man in whose house there were those parties was teaching them Marxism. You know, the devil is never going to tell you not to drink because you're going to end up with emphysema dying in hospital. No, he's going to put Marlboro Man on a horse with beautiful mountain peaks telling you smoke Marlboro if you want clean air. So it's not surprising when young people say, "I don't see anything wrong with this or wrong with that." It takes patient endurance to keep the commandments of God. Blessed is the man who does not go, who does not stand, and who does not sit. I might not understand. In fact, I will not understand, because the devil is not stupid. So he says, no, I didn't go. Well, he was not happy with this. He says, but you're young and handsome and you like music and there were beautiful girls there. How can you prove to me that you didn't go? Well, he says again, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. And again he thought he was a Jew. He says, no, no, I'm not. And then again he told him that verse. And then the judge called the soldiers and he says, bring me that guy. And they went and brought a man that was so disfigured that my brother did not recognize him. Blood, he looked horrible. He could not stand by himself. The soldiers had to hold him. And the officer says, hey you, do you know who this man is? He says, yes. What's his name? Kish Peter. Is this from your village? Yes. He says, did he go to your parties? He looks at my brother. If he said yes, they would shoot my brother without questioning. Now, he was tortured for several weeks. But this man said no, he was not. The officer jumped and said, you're lying. He is young, he is musical, he is handsome. Besides, he says, there were between 30 and 50 young people there. How can you be sure that he didn't go? He says, no, he never came. Not even once. He is Seventh-day Adventist. If he came, the music would stop and we would all be surprised because Seventh-day Adventists don't dance, they don't drink, and then they don't go to parties like this. And then he says, yeah, well, maybe it's true what you say, but how can you be sure that he didn't go? He says, there are no Adventists who would go. Seventh-day Adventists are strong and resilient people. They are committed. And then he stood at attention as much as he could. I guess he wanted to prick the officer. He says, Seventh-day Adventists are unique people, sir. So the officer said, take him back. So they dragged him back. And my brother stood there. Officer was thinking for a long time. And then he looks at one soldier. He says, come here. He says, take Peter right now. Take him home. After 6 weeks in dungeon, not enough food and cold and so on, 13 kilometers walking back to the village, he says, by the dawn, you should be behind the lines of confrontation. Go with him to Zagreb, to capital, way far away from where the war was. And then he looks at my brother and he says, and stay there until Germany liberates Yugoslavia. And that soldier took him home. My brother packed. My mother gave him something to eat. And they walked another 20 kilometers in another direction behind front lines. He sat in a train and he went to Zagreb, to our school where my oldest sister was, and had no more trouble, was far away from war. My brother tells me, don't you tell me Psalm 1 doesn't make sense. I know it does. My brothers and sisters, he is now 78 years old. I saw him about 3 weeks ago. Here is the patient endurance of the saints. Not heroic deeds. Oh, there are times when those are called for too. It is endurance that is hard. It is not to give up. It is not to just cheat a little bit. Just flirt a little bit. Go to Walmart only when there are 50% reduction in prices on Saturday. Or near the border of sunset. Here is the patient endurance. This is not legalism, friends. That's not legalism. That's commitment. You're in a training camp. Irritations of life, temptations, strained relations among spouses. And then some people abandon the spouses and then choose another one, and they think that that other one is an angel, when the Bible says that angels don't marry. Here is patient endurance at home. When she put too much or not enough garlic in food. That's the patient endurance of saints. Not just those who put in the church's 10 commandments. Keeping commandments is not keeping them on the wall. Long illnesses. Aging. You know, aging is illness too. I'm starting to sense it. But you need patient endurance to be creative. You know what's beautiful about the patriarchs in the Bible? The last sentence about several of them said, and they were satisfied of life. They lived their life fully. They didn't waste their energies. They didn't destroy their lungs and their kidneys and their liver. One chocolate more. You know, eating chocolate is sin because I don't like it. But that's where saints show themselves as saints. Is in little irritations, everyday regular temptations, and I remain the same. It would be so beautiful, so beautiful, if Seventh-day Adventists would be very different. Very different. So that our behavior and even our language betrays us that we are with Jesus. This kind of patient endurance is the best evangelistic tool. You don't have to hire the hall. You don't have to pay anything. When you go to Walmart or Kmart or whichever mart, and when you are traveling and when there are irritations and you do not respond like everybody else because you are a different kind of person, that is greatest sermon, Ellen White says, than any other sermon. God and man need people who resist until the end. The angels said what they had to say. And now the ball is in our hands. Here is the patient endurance of the saints. This is your and my identity. You and I are called to be strong, resilient, and different people.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.